Good morning, everybody. Lots to get to today. But first, I want to remind you, we did a bonus, a little deep dive, like a mini deep dive podcast with Kevin Kosar from the American Enterprise Institute. He gave us some more information about something we've been telling you about for several weeks, which is the presidentialelectionproject.com. They are working very hard to try to get reforms made of the Electoral Count Act, which right now is very vague and convoluted, and it is basically what allowed there to be any confusion about the 2020 count and Mike Pence's role in that. So the vice president's role is supposed to be pretty ceremonial. It's not, the act is not laid out in a way that makes it very easy to understand. And there are now fears that Kamala could use that to her advantage. So we talked to Kevin Kosar about that. He is an expert in this area. And we encourage you to listen to that. It should be out on YouTube later today. And you can get more details about why this this particular Electoral Count Act should be reformed at presidentialelectionproject.com. So check that out if you have not already.
And then make sure that you're subscribed to our podcast when it comes to like our deep dive. We do a deep dive every single week, but we also have obviously this daily podcast. Make sure that you are subscribed and tell your friends. If you know of a friend that has never watched us, listened to us, reach out and say, hey, friend, check this out. And then maybe they'll subscribe too. We would love that. So make sure that you're doing that.
That would be great. We need to start off with a double dose of sad news, unfortunately. The first bit is that overnight for us, because Japan is obviously ahead, like by 14 hours, I think, the former Prime Minister Shinzo Abe was assassinated. And this was in broad daylight. And it was, there's video, not of like, you know, the actual moment of impact or anything, but there's video of the sounds and scenes immediately in the aftermath of that shooting. It was a 41-year-old military vet, Japanese military vet, who made a homemade shotgun and took the former prime minister out in two shots. The first one missed. The second one, I guess, hit him in the shoulder and the back, and then he lost so much blood that he did not survive. And he was tackled immediately afterwards. And so obviously he's in custody and he's given a full-on confession to the shooting, which was going to be pretty hard to deny considering that he's holding this gigantic homemade shotgun. And so it's just, this is crazy for Japan specifically because they pride themselves so much on their low crime rate and on their super, super strict gun laws. And so you and I were just talking before we went live about how freaky the whole homemade gun business is, because you can have all the laws you want about red flag this and, you know, buying a gun in a store that. There is nothing you can do about people building their own freaking guns at home. There's nothing you can do.
And I think, you know, beyond that, there's nothing you can do about evil. There's nothing you cannot legislate. We talked about this in our book, and other people have talked about this too. You can scream it from the rooftops and people will never seem to grasp this. You cannot legislate evil. If somebody wants to do an evil act, no legislator can stop it. It's just that is evil, period. You cannot rein it in. You can't. And there seems to be this problem. I mean, it's obviously Japan couldn't control this sort of evil. They put all the gun laws in place. I mean, they locked it down and look what happened. So, I mean, just pointing out the obvious that you can't legislate evil. You can't.
People are going to evil and they're going to use whatever means they want to in order to perpetrate the evil, as this fellow clearly did. And the reason that he gave for this horrific crime is that former prime minister was frustrating to him. He's frustrated by that person as an individual. He's frustrated by him. So he decided, you know what? I'm just going to take him out and end my frustration, because that's a crazy person. And crazy people are going to do what crazy people do. obviously. So yeah, that's the first bit.
Yeah, this is our world. Yeah.
This is our world, unfortunately. And mm-hmm. also, James Caan, you guys.
You guys, oh my God. Yeah.
The manliest right? man in Mantown right, has passed away at the tender age of 82. And mm-hmm. I'm just, oh my God. So yeah, sad about it.
I think that was like, that's what makes me sad. Because obviously, you know, celebrity, right? You don't know these people. You know them from movies. You have no idea what they're like in real life. But to me, he was the person, like he's one of the personifications of man. And like, I feel like we're losing men, you know, like you don't see a lot of men, like a lot of the celebrities now, you see a lot of these guys out there that are not like Caan, you know?
Yeah.
They're not like dudes. And so when you never know, I see him and I see like the, you know, the just, I don't know. He was a man's man. He was a dude. And so when guys like that pass away, I'm like, well, there's another one gone. And so I was really sad about this last night.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, and man.
I had the biggest crush on Sonny Corleone.
Yeah. He's hot.
Oh my God. When totally I read the hot. Book, I had a crush on him. I mean, mm-hmm. even before I knew to visualize him as James Caan, just reading The Godfather, I had a crush on Sonny. So yeah. Just in his honor, I wanted to show one of my favorite little bits of him just being so Sonny in the movie, The Godfather, which is, of course, why I have my name the way that it is today. so let's just watch him doing his thing, shall we?
Hey, what are you going to do? Nice college boy, huh? They want to get mixed up in the family business. Now you want to gun down a police captain. Why? Because he slapped you in the face a little bit? Huh? What do you think? This is the army where you shoot him a mile away? You got to get up close like this. Bada bing! You blow their brains all over your nice Ivy League suit. Come in.
Just oh loved my God. Him.
I just, oh my God. He was. He was. And then when he was an elf, seriously, like whole other manly man and elf. God. I just love him.
Kathleen?
What?
Kathleen says, I have never watched The Godfather and have no desire to. And I just don't even
really?
Know how to process that.
Listen, don't even bother with three. Like three yeah. was stupid. Like three
but
was
one
just
and
like,
two?
What, but one and two, come on. You gotta watch one and two. It's like watching Goodfellas. Goodfellas is one of my favorite movies of all time in space. Like if Goodfellas is on, I'm like, oh, I gotta sit down. I gotta watch it. Hello. I mean, like I can't believe we never even talked about Ray Liotta passing. That was devastating.
Yeah, that's
for
right.
me too. Blue Eyes. God, he was gorgeous in that movie. Just, I mean, another man's man, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just we're missing some serious dudes, mm-hmm. you guys.
Right.
All right. Let's move on. I wanted to mention really quickly that next Thursday, so not quite a week from now, the January 6th committee is going to be doing another primetime episode of their production of the January 6th hearings. So I know you guys want me to tell you when to set your DVRs or whatever it is that you do now. for your on-demand stuff.
Who's airing this? Like, who cares? Who's actually watching
this? Oh, people will air it, probably. I'm guessing.
Because they can't... There has to be somebody at the top that is recognizing that their ratings are for crap when these things air. Because nobody's actually watching this stuff. And ratings matter to these people. So... Honestly, I mean, because let's get real. You know that they're in the tank when this stuff is on. People are switching the channel and they're watching other things. And you know as well as I do that these network executives, it matters. Ratings matter. They don't want... So, I mean, it has to be down to like two networks that's airing this garbage. Seriously.
I'm not sure. I'm guessing that because it is almost a week away, there's going to be a lot of hype, right? Like they're going to probably preview... what witnesses they're going to call and why this particular episode of their production is so important and so life-changing and explosive
and
that
shocking.
Everybody's going to want to tune in. Yeah, that's my
shell.
Guess.
To
There's
going to
be all bombshells.
Nobody cares. I mean, the American people are like,
exactly.
Let's talk about all the things that are actually affecting me. I don't give a crap about your drama production, Liz Cheney. God.
And the really? Things, of course, that matter to people, all of us included, are things like the economy and our prices right. and inflation and all the things that actually matter to our wallets and to our sustainability, our retirements, all of those things really, really matter. And yet this White House, the messaging is so, so bad. I don't even know who this chick is. She's another one of the economic advisors to the White House. She's being asked by, I believe, CNN folks, like, how can you guys be this bad? Right? Like, how can you be this bad at everything messaging? And just, it's like, they still don't understand. It doesn't matter that they have like 90% disapproval in the direction of the country right now. They still hang on, not just to the talking points, but to the way that they deliver them.
Right.
Which is so, it's like a script that they're following that I just can't believe they're still following.
Yeah.
Look at it.
Yeah.
The president has made clear that his number one goal is delivering for the American people. We are in a time of crisis. We are in a time of war where the president and our allies, we are supporting the Ukrainian people. Congress is engaged in this effort, both sides of the aisle, to say this is an important priority. And one of the consequences is this high price of oil because of global trends.
You didn't answer his important question. Everyone, Heather, everyone in the nation wants to know the answer to the question Mr. Farrell just asked you, which is who is advising the president on shockingly naive price theory over a gallon of gas.
So the president is not shockingly naive.
Oh my God. But he is. He totally is. And so is she on the messaging. I mean, obviously, they've never changed course. They, like you say, they've always been in this narrow focus. And I think part of that, a huge part of it, is that these people don't live in the real world. They right. just don't. So many of these people, it's the same reason why celebrities are, some celebrities are actually deviating. Because what was it like Deborah Messing the other day? She was just like, what the hell are these people doing? I'm paraphrasing, of course, you know. But I mean, it's like, this is why a lot of these people are just, they are staying the course and they still are supporting this Yahoo, is because they don't live in the real world. Because they can't afford all the things. And they have no problems paying their bills. And they don't have to worry about kitchen table issues. And they can't just be like, I got climate change, weather, staple money to the clouds. Yay. I mean, they can worry about stuff that the rest of us, you know, I can't even fathom worrying about stuff like that. Because I've got $100 a tank gas that I'm worrying about. And trying to put food on the table. And I mean, these are things that the American people are actually worried about. They right. don't have to worry about it because they don't live in the real world, because they constantly suck money from you and me. This is what they're
exactly,
doing.
Exactly right. And we've got Karine Jean-Pierre, KJP herself, getting grilled about this, the same thing, and especially why Kate Bedingfield, as we mentioned yesterday, she's leaving the White House mm-hmm. comms team. So we're going to get to that in just a second. But as a reminder, one of the crises that we're going to all face next is a food shortage. So we've already seen this to some degree with some items, right? Baby formula is a perfect example. There's going to be a lot more pain to come. And I don't mean to be all doomsday about it. I say that only to make sure that people are preparing themselves for worst case scenarios, because it's important to have a family disaster recovery plan. And one of the best ways to do that is to seek out all things from preparewiththechicks.com. That is our special link at My Patriot Supply. And they have everything you could ever imagine when it comes to disaster recovery planning. But specifically, if you go to preparewiththechicks.com, you can save $150 on a 3-month emergency food kit so that you are protected in the event of really, really bad food shortages. These are kits that are so well stored and put together that it can last in storage for 25 years and still be delicious. That's amazing.
It so is amazing.
It's preparewiththechicks.com. Check them out immediately.
Do it. And make sure that you're checking out our website too, chicksonright.com. It's the nucleus, the chick's nucleus, everything there. And check out our new writers. I'm going to say new. They've been with us for quite some time. But if you haven't checked them out, they're going to be new to you. So make sure you're checking all that out, chicksonright.com.
Former Trump White House official Brooke Rollins explains how she and other conservatives are preparing to help the next Republican president advance their agenda and successfully fight the bureaucracy. I'm Bill Walton. On the latest edition of The Bill Walton Show, Rollins also explains how President Trump was able to accomplish so much despite the government working against him, and how getting the right congressional staffers is vital. Follow The Bill Walton Show at Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, so Karine Jean-Pierre, she gives, first I just will play you her standard answer to anything related to the economy, even though the questions are always about, what do you say to the American people who are really, really suffering with like literally everything right now? What do you say? And here is what she says.
Look at where we are economically, and we are in a strong, we are stronger economically than we have been in history. When you look at the unemployment numbers at 3.6%, when you look at the jobs numbers, more than 8.7 million of new jobs created. That is important.
That's important, you guys. Why can't you just focus on the important things, you jerks?
I mean, aren't the numbers, though, that when it comes to the numbers of the whole unemployment, they're skewing those because a lot of people are coming back after the pandemic. And like there's, and then I heard yesterday, what was it, yesterday, a couple days ago, that actually a lot more people have filed for unemployment. There's a lot
recently?
More people that are, just recently. So that's, there's that. I mean, listen. And then on top of that, just the economy in general, how is this economy better than ever? I don't understand. So she can say that, she can spew that out of her face, but yet I'm just not buying what she's selling because
you're living in reality.
Right. I mean, this is the thing. They can say it as much as they want to say it. You can just say it until you think that you can believe it. Because the more that you say, I think it's like, okay, whatever. The law of affirmation or whatever that bull crap that these people spew. It's like, if I say it enough, then it must be real. I'm just going to speak it into reality. No, that's not the way that this works. You know, because the gas and my 401k and all of these other things that are happening, everything is more expensive. We just celebrated the 4th of July and it was 17% higher than last year. I'd venture to say in some areas, it was probably even more, probably 20 to 25% more in some areas. So you can't tell me that things aren't more expensive. Everything is more expensive. I just bought school supplies for my daughter. You know, we went early because she's anal retentive and she's, oh my God, she's Miss Planner like you. And she's like, mommy, let's go buy school supplies in freaking July. And I'm like, okay, fine. So we went and we bought school supplies and they were exponentially more than they were even last year. So you can't tell me that things aren't more expensive. Everything is more expensive. So how can they say this and think that people are going to, do people buy this? I mean, people actually go, well, sure. I mean, in reality, I'm paying so much more and I'm scrimping and trying to get by month to month. But if she says it, I mean, it must be true.
People don't care about the numbers that she's hyper-focused on. She's only got the unemployment rate really to hang this administration's hat on, which is totally misleading because the labor participation rate is so poor. And so that's why businesses are still struggling to find people to hire. I mean, that's when you print off a bunch of money and then blast it out to people and then pay them unemployment forever in the height of COVID, people aren't going to go to work. And then when there's inflation, companies can barely afford to attract people to hire. So there's all kinds of results and problems that happen with inflation that this administration clearly doesn't want to talk about. And for some reason, they think if they just harp on a couple of like highlights that everybody's going to go, oh, okay. So you know what? I don't even care about gas prices or food prices or shortages anymore, because now you're telling me a percentage of unemployment that I now deeply care about for reasons I can't understand. I mean, nobody's going to do that.
Yeah. And then they want to continue to say stuff like, you know what, maybe we could tell the LOFOs that we're going to pay for their college too, and it'll be free, and that'll pacify them. And there are dumb people who buy that crap. There are dumb people who actually go, oh yeah, that'll be free. That'll be free too. I'll get more free money. I'll get more, something more that's free. No, it's not free. It's not free. Cause look at what's happening now. This is, it's a result of all the freeness.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is the thing. It's the Democrat way. This is what happens as a result of Democrat policies. Suckage, total suckage.
Right. Well, yeah. Peter Ducey responded to that statement that she just made. And he was like, okay, well, if everything is so great, why are you guys like hemorrhaging staff? And it was a great exchange. This is a little bit longer, but I felt like it was worth playing the whole thing. Here we go.
So if you think that your plan is popular with the American people, is it just that the plans are not being communicated properly? And is that why the communications director is leaving?
Oh, that's where you were going with this question. No, oh, that's very slick there of you, Peter.
Well, why is she really leaving?
I mean, she said why she is leaving. Look, let me just say something. Wait, no. You're asking me?
That at a time that a historic number of people think the country's on the wrong track, somebody who has been a part of Biden world for as long as just about anybody here says that she is leaving.
Well, first, let me just say, I explained that we understand what the American public is feeling. The president is doing everything in his power to lower costs, to blunt gas prices, as he has been doing. And we have done that. So I just want to speak about Kate for a second, because I think this is really important. I've known Kate since 2007. She is a friend and she is a colleague. She is exceptionally talented and she will be greatly missed. Her smart skills and hard work helped
She's
get the
reading.
President elected and has helped us accomplish so much since we've been
Oh my
here.
God.
And like I said,
oh
on
my
a personal
God.
Note, she's a good friend and a colleague and we are going to miss her. Now, you're asking me, basically you're asking me, her leaving and what does that mean, right, to the administration. Look, I don't think her leaving will have effect on what we're trying to do, because look, she leaves behind a talented team in communications department, and the president will name a new communications director. There's nothing new here. These things happen. And I do want to call out a data by Brookings showing that turnover in this administration is below the historical average going back to Reagan. So what we're seeing here is not unusual. What we're seeing here is normal. And what we're going to continue to do is we're going to communicate with the American people in a truthful way. And we're going to do that every day.
Okay.
Oh my God. You guys, I need you to know. Mock is she's a great person. And she's my best friend. She's my best friend. That's right. Mock is. Can you, what in the hell was that?
I know.
Was that? She was reading it.
On a personal note, let me just check my note.
Let me check and see if I think she's good. She's a good person.
It says right here.
It does. It says it in my notes. Oh my God. And that whole bull crap about like Biden's doing everything in his power to like get gas prices down. He does. This is why he sent like all of our reserves to China.
I am so glad you brought that up, because that's a perfect segue into the crazy. There's more crazy when it comes to Hunter. And I'm not talking about being naked and smoking crack in a sensory deprivation tank now. I'm talking about serious business that affects us all. And first of all, can I just show you that after the president had the audacity to showcase this disgusting creature son of his on the balcony of the White House on the 4th of July, on the day of to celebrate America's independence, like we wanted to see that disgusting creep.
Yeah.
He was also mingling with everybody at the Medal of Freedom Presidential Medal of Freedom award ceremony yesterday.
Yeah, you know who should be there? You know who should be there? The stripper's kid. That's who should be there. He should have the granddaughter, I'm assuming it's the granddaughter. I think it's the daughter of the kid that Hunter knocked up, who was the stripper. That's who should be there to be seriously. Where's that kid?
I mean, imagine shaking Hunter Biden's hand after watching all of the things that he's done with hand.
You don't want to shake anything. You don't want to shake anything on that guy ever.
Oh my God.
You don't know where it's been.
So let's talk more about what's happening. First of all, there are some issues when it comes to his banking that need to be addressed. And this guy does it very well.
We found out that Hunter Biden has had 150 suspicious activity reports filed against various accounts that he and Jim Biden, the president's brother, have. That's unprecedented, Jason. A normal person in America never has any bank violations. Less than one-tenth of 1% of people ever have any bank balance. They've had 150, which I would say is more than any person in the history of America. These are the most serious banking violations you can have. There's suspicion of money laundering, suspicion of receiving money from terrorist groups, suspicion of money from bad actors in foreign countries. Before Joe Biden became president, under the Obama administration, the Bush administration, any member of Congress could go to the Treasury Department and request suspicious activity reports. These were put into place, again, to catch funneling money to terrorist cells in the United States. I mean, it's unheard of. He's had 150 of these violations. Once we determined this, then I went to Treasury, requested the SARs on Hunter Biden. They said, no, we changed the rules. You can't do that anymore. This started getting pressed. We started leaking out that the Treasury Department was stolen all of this. Then they came back and said, okay, we'll make an exception. If you can get a single Democrat to sign on the request with you, then we'll give you the request. And obviously, Jason, as you can imagine, no Democrats are interested in signing on.
Well, I mean, it pays to be a politician, right? I mean, it pays to be a politician. You get away with so much shit if you're a politician. Isn't that unbelievable? If that were you or me, we would be in jail.
Exactly. Right, exactly.
This is so gross. I mean, the way that these people are get so much leeway. They get away with so much crap. If you are a Biden, you get away with everything. If you're a Clinton, you get away with everything. It's disgusting. It's
vile. And you mentioned the strategic reserves being sent to China. So did he. There's more information about Hunter's actual involvement with that.
He was releasing these reserves to lower the price of gas nationally. And then you find out that he, through Secretary Granholm of the Department of Energy, is selling them around on the world market and selling them to the communist Chinese. So, A, we're selling our strategic raw materials, our strategic reserves, to the communist country who's our adversary. And then you find out one of the companies that was brokering this deal, one of our top investors is, of course, Hunter Biden. So the son, the president's reprobate crackhead son, is invested in a company that is buying our strategic reserves while we're paying more than $5 a gallon at the pump. If we had an impeachment hearing about a phone call with Donald Trump and President Zelensky, if this doesn't cause Jerry Nadler and it doesn't cause Adam Schiff to ask some questions and for Congress to do its job and wonder how this Biden crime family is profiting while the American people are suffering, I don't understand if there is a more offense that is more worthy of investigating for impeachment. Let's put it that way.
Well, where
I mean,
amen
I cannot
to that.
Wait for November, because the Republicans are going to take over the House and then let the investigations begin. And
they
the Democrats
better.
Can pay for all the bullshit that they put us through for the past however many years.
They
I'm
better.
So sick of this.
They better, though, Mock. I don't know. Because, I mean, this is the thing about Republicans. I don't know. I mean, do we have a guarantee of that? Because Republicans, if and when they do get into office, will they? Because
something
they
like
better.
This, they have
they
to.
Better.
They've been asking already. And so when they actually have power to make that kind of investigation happen, I think we'll get some more results,
they
especially
better.
For something like this.
Yeah,
I mean,
they
this
better.
Is just. Holy crap.
Because I got to tell you, I mean, there's a part of me that I'm just like, yeah, I do. I want revenge. I mean, listen, of all the crap, all the Russia crap they made us pay for, all this other crap we've seen, and the January 6th stuff, I am over it. Like, this is some crap. And all the stuff that we're paying for right now, all the gas, all the stuff, the economy, all the stuff that they have put us through. It's like taking a beating every single day. Somebody on our side of the aisle better darn well, like, I want to see some justice. I want to finally see some justice. We never saw justice with Clinton. I want to see justice. Finally.
Same. You guys, I almost forgot to remind you or to tell you that this week, our friends at EdenPureDeals.com are having a big buy one, get one special on the thunderstorms. If you have not seen this before, it's like hand-sized air purifier that you just plug in. It just plugs right into your wall, so it takes up absolutely no floor space. It even has a USB port if you want to use it with a USB outlet in your car, which I've had to do because I have a lacrosse playing teenager, and they stink, you guys. They stink. It's got all these different levels of air purification. So if you want to like really clean out the odors of a room fast, you just turn it on like full blast. But you can also just keep it running and it purifies the air, and it will make a stinky room. Say you have a cat litter box or something. It will clear out the stench in a room so quickly. These things are amazing. Everyone that we've told to buy one has been like, oh my God, this is the best thing ever. And it's buy one, get one free right now, you guys. So just go to EdenPureDeals.com. Use code. Now, this is important because the code is not just chicks. It's chicks BOGO. Okay. EdenPureDeals.com. The code is CHICKSBOGO, and you're going to get your buy one, get one on the thunderstorms, and you are not going to regret it. And you're probably going to send us emails thanking us and telling us how great we are, which are welcome.
Yeah, you should totally do it.
Okay, before we get to your sack of whack, one more clip that I wanted to share with people. This is from a much longer interview that Tucker Carlson was on with this absolute idiot, Ben Smith, who used to be the editor-in-chief at BuzzFeed, and now he is heading up a new news organization, like a global news network that he's hoping will take off. And he's one of the worst of the worst. And he's one of the people who has been screeching that Tucker Carlson is a racist, white supremacist, all the things. So Tucker agreed to be on his platform and absolutely gave this guy a verbal whooping like it was nobody's business. So I have just the final couple minutes of that, not even, because it was a beautiful thing.
But I do believe in fairness, and I don't think you should ever hire someone on the basis of his race or sex. That's grotesque to me. It's a violation of the basic promise of the country, which is we're going to bring people from around the world who may look different, be from different backgrounds, but we're going to treat them all the same, which is to say specifically on the basis of their ability and their virtue, on the choices they make, not on the genes they have. That's Nazi shit. I'm against that. I'm serious.
Let me ask you about a different subject, which is January 6th. And I think...
Well, no, I kind of like this stuff. You're not responding to me.
No, I'm not responding to you. I'm interviewing you.
Does that sound racist to you? You've just suggested I'm a white supremacist.
You know, I found that clip disturbing. I think the language of replacement theory is like specifically the language used by neo-Nazis to recruit people to their cause. It has been, obviously, I'm not suggesting some straight line between words and actions, but it is a phrase that has been used by mass shooters. I wonder if you don't have any compunction or regret about popularizing that.
This is why you are considered correctly a propagandist and not a journalist, because I just explained in detail with total sincerity what I believe. You ignored it and invoked mass shooters. So that's not what you just did.
I asked you how you felt about it. I actually do want to ask you about something. I'd like to ask about it. I'd like to ask you about something that actually I think we probably have more common ground on.
This is revealing how ridiculous you are, and I think it's evident to any fair person watching.
I guess I'm trying to give you an opportunity to respond to things that have been said and written about you.
But he doesn't.
Let's move to something.
He doesn't.
I'm really not looking to have a
does this sound like racist ideology? And you're like, I'm disturbed by the Media Matters clip for 8 seconds. Like, are you being serious?
And he did that precisely. He showed like an 8 second clip of mm-hmm. Tucker, and he's like, "I'm just really disturbed by that." I mean, like it is a 9 minute 45 second interview, or at least that's what I saw. Was a 9 minute 45 second clip. I watched that last night, and Tucker was so lovely in it. I mean, he was like mm-hmm. that was probably the most combative that they got with what you played, and then the rest of it, Tucker was so nice, when he was allowed to talk, and he was so gracious. And so, I mean, like, he didn't have to do that interview with this schmuck, you know? This guy was obviously coming in, hitman with an agenda, and he was basically like, I'm just going to call him a racist the whole time, because I have this predisposed notion of who he is, and that's precisely what he thinks about him. He's like, I think he's a white supremacist. Okay, So he was on the defense the whole time. Tucker was on the defense trying to prove that he's not a white supremacist. What kind of a freaking interview is that? Right. And so he comes and he's trying to basically say, this is who I am. The guy's like, I'm not having it. I'm not having it. It was the weirdest interview from this guy who is not a journalist. He's precisely what Tucker says he is. He's a propagandist. And it just shows how awful these people are. I mean,
which is why I love it. I hope Ben Smith shares it everywhere because it makes everywhere. Him look so bad. Right. So bad.
Yeah. And it shows how much of a non-journalist he is. He is mm-hmm. not a journalist. I mean, Tucker is 100% correct. These people are not journalists. They're not at all journalists. He didn't listen to a word he said. He had so many minutes up to the point of that clip that you played of him just talking and explaining and giving him information. He heard none of it. None of it. Yeah. It was, wow,
worst interview ever, but it made Tucker come out so far ahead, and I loved it.
Me too.
All right, what is in your sack of whack?
Okay, well, there are firefighters in Tennessee. It was Morristown, city of Morristown, Tennessee. The fire department there responded to a local Walmart because there was a kitten stuck inside of a vending machine. It was a Pepsi vending machine. I have no idea how the kitten got in there. It was this precious, sweet little baby kitten. And I guess there were a bunch of employees in there that could hear the kitten like in there meowing. Aww. And so they got in there and they rescued this tiny little baby kitten. Inside, it was a Pepsi vending machine. So they unplugged the machine and removed the cover, and they couldn't see the kitten. They found another opening where they could see it, and they coaxed it out. They finally coaxed it out. So the tiny kitten was adopted by one of the employees, Lindsay, who was one of the original people who heard the kitten's cries for help. They joked about naming it Pepsi, but they ultimately decided on Mountain Mew.
What are they going to call it for short? You can't call a cat Mountain Mew when you're calling it.
I don't know, but I was like, oh my God, I have to tell Mock this because it's so you. That's what somebody suggested, Mountain Mew. Now, I don't know. Maybe they won't. Maybe it'll be like MM or something, or I don't know. Maybe she's like going to name it something different, but I was like, oh my God, Mountain Mew. Can you even? It's so your kind of Mountain Mew. So yeah, they got the little, but I was like, I have to do something sweet on a Friday. And this little employee, she's so precious. I wish I could show you her picture, this Lindsay, and she's holding this sweet baby kitten. How a kitten gets into a vending machine, I have no idea, but it's just tiny, teeny, tiny itsy, little gray kitten. Itsy bitsy little gray kitten. Mountain Mew, you guys. God, so Mountain Mew. All. Has been saved from the Walmart vending machine. Just so sweet. So sweet. So there you go.
Love it. Love it.
I know.
You guys, time for My Pillow Talks. Don't forget to stock up on your slippers. Look at that, is the sole. They are outdoor, indoor soles. You can wear them absolutely outside and like you can walk all over the place in them if you want to. So comfortable. So on sale right now at mypillow.com/chicks. So make sure to get them while you can at that rate.
What's happening this weekend? What are you doing? Anything?
I don't think I have any plans. I'm just going to chill.
That sounds glorious. I'm going school shopping with my kid. Again, more school shopping. This time, because we can't buy clothes here in Waco, you guys. No offense against Wacoans, but there's just not good shopping
Magnolia
here.
Magnolia needs a clothing line.
They do have a clothing line. It's way too expensive and teenagers don't wear it.
Oh.
So, yeah. Okay. Sorry, Joanna Gaines. Sorry. your clothes game is out of my league and my kid's not going to wear it. Yeah. So we got to go to a whole other city. So anyways, yeah. I'm sorry I didn't bring it in.
See, yeah, you left me hanging.
So that's what we're doing tomorrow, and then I'll be back tomorrow night, and then I'll probably chill on Sunday. So that's it. So we hope that you guys have a fantastic weekend. Very restful, very awesome. Summer, lazy days of summer, you guys. Enjoy them now, and we will talk to you on Monday. Bye, everybody.
Bye. we need to talk about our friends at Acre Gold really quickly because we like doing it. It's just a nice way to hedge against inflation and kind of build your portfolio and have some diversity in it. All you have to do is visit getacregold.com/chicks. You can start investing right away. And if you tweet or post at @get_acre, you have a chance to win a free gold bar. All you have to do is just say, here's why I should be the winner. And then you very well may be the winner. So it's getacregold.com/chicks.
Anti-human trafficking warrior Rosie Orozco joins me to explain how open borders are leading to a huge increase in human trafficking into our country and the horrific sexual exploitation of women, girls, and boys. I'm Sarah Carter. On the latest Sarah Carter Show, Rosie will explain how the trafficking process works and how big of a business it is for the cartels. It's a tough story that we all need to know. Follow the Sarah Carter Show at Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.